Good. Can we get some love in the comments? As Emily said, that's from our creative team doing their thing. I know it looks super old-fashioned, but that is because we did this series 2 years ago, and in Metro years, that is ancient history. So it's kind of an echo of that. But we loved it so much that we thought we'd come back for season two. Sorry, before we start, I should probably introduce myself. A lot of you probably know who I am already, but if you don't know me, my name's Alexia. I'm part of the team here at Metro. I've been helping out with student stuff for the last year or so, and I'm staying on from September to continue doing that. So let's dive back into our series. So new series, Infinite Playlist number 2, looking at the Psalms, as we said. So in case you don't know what the Psalms are, they are the book that is bang in the middle of your Bible. And they are a collection of 150 different songs and poems and prayers written by different authors that have been collated together. And they kind of give us this really unique insight into what it looks like to follow Jesus. It's kind of the raw emotions and the inner feelings of what happens on this discipleship journey. It's kind of like being able to read someone's journal entries. You just get the raw vulnerability as it comes. And so there is one for literally everything. There is one when you're having a great day, you're loving life, faith is going really well. There's one where if you're really angry at God and you're kind of confused. There's things if you're scared, if you're happy or excited, there is literally one for everything. And so, like Philip said, I've chosen one today, and that is hopefully going to speak into our situation right now. COVID times, as it is. This psalm was written thousands of years ago, but hopefully I believe that God is going to use it to speak into our situation today. So, as I said, COVID times. Pretty dull, right? I don't know about you, but I'm pretty bored of it. Can I get some of these in the comments if we're like done with COVID times? A bit bored. We kind of miss pre-corona life. It was so much better. It was kind of, life now is just kind of not all that it should be. We're kind of like lacking things. And actually, like, relationships have become really hard in COVID times, haven't they? The long distance relationship has been forced upon all of us. And we've kind of had to do FaceTimes and kind of not hug people. Like we saw on that video, oh man, I miss church. I miss jumping around with people and being able to hug people at church. But alas, not anymore. So it's hard, isn't it? Doing relationships is hard in this kind of time. Like some of them maybe feel like we're lacking that depth just because you can't hang out in the same way that you could. And maybe some of you have even had that thing where actually some days you just can't do another Zoom call. Even with the people that you love most in the world, like the motivation just isn't there. You just can't face it. We've all been there, right? I know I have. Zoom, man. Way too many Zoom calls. But it's hard, isn't it? Life is kind of, we want more from it. We want there to be more, and doing relationships is hard. And so to make matters worse, actually, how many of you have kind of felt like that with God during these times? Actually, we haven't been able to meet together as church, and that has been so hard. This is our 21st Sunday that we're not meeting normally, people. Can I get some broken hearts? Yeah, people are booing in the studio, but it's really sad. I miss all you guys so much. Whenever you get the opportunity, do come and join us in the studio or one of the pop-ups, because we miss you so much. But so we're not being able to do church together, and that sucks. And actually, that makes doing faith really hard. Actually, some of us maybe feel like we're lacking that depth in our relationship with God because we're not being able to stand and worship in the same way that we could. Or actually, maybe we've just lost the motivation. You kind of like, you still believe God's there, you still believe that he's good, and actually nothing's really changed, but you're just kind of lacking the motivation. Like, actually, I could read my Bible, or I could go and do this. We're kind of, yeah. It's really hard. Or maybe you're just feeling like you're still doing all of that, but without meeting together as church, you're just feeling a bit dry, like God's feeling far off, like you're doing all the right things, but God feels a bit far off. Like, it's hard. But the good news is, as I said, there is a psalm that speaks directly into this situation. So hopefully we're going to unpack it today, and hopefully I can give you some pointers that will help you get out of this place and will conquer Corona times with no church together. So the psalm that I've chosen is Psalm 84. Now, some of you probably don't know what that is off the top of your head, but if you've been around church for a while, you will know that Matt Redman wrote a song with these lyrics as the chorus. It says, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere." Hands up if you know that one. Yeah, lots of hands in the studio. Any comments online? Any hands up in the pop-ups? If you've been around church for a while, you will know that song. And so some of you, you're thinking, oh gosh, this is going to be one of those talks where you're just going to tell me, actually, God's really great. Like, he's better. Like, one day with him is better than a thousand elsewhere. Just kind of suck it up and get on with it. Actually, if that's you, if you're watching online, don't click off. If you're watching here in the studio, you're stuck. You've got to stay anyway. But don't zone out. Tune in. Hopefully, this is going to be really useful. So I remember this song, listening to this song when I was about 8 years old at church back home. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I just remember thinking, okay, sure, you've clearly never been to Legoland. Like, for eight-year-old me, Legoland was it. Like, a thousand days in Legoland, flip. Man, there's roller coasters, there's like those massive buckets of popcorn. You can even get your little like driving license. People been to Legoland, yeah? You know, you get your little driving license and your little Lego car. Great times. How can that be better? How can one day with God be better than that? Now, some of you are thinking, actually, a thousand days in Legoland sounds like actual hell. Like, no, thank you. But like, what about, I don't know, a thousand days in the Bahamas? Right now, all of us are longing for our abroad holidays and we're not able to go. What about a thousand days on a golden beach with sunsets and cocktails? I don't know, or whatever the best thing is that you can think of. Some of you are thinking, actually, like, no chance is that. Is one day with God going to be a thousand times better than this best thing I'm thinking of? Well, actually, the Psalms, as I said, are people's real life experiences. Actually, for this psalmist, this is something that he truly experienced. And so people's experiences are quite hard to argue with, right? So you're thinking, okay, if this is possible, to have a relationship with God that is so good that one day with him is better than a thousand days in the best place that I could think of, then how do I get to that place? And I thought we just agreed that like faith is really hard right now. Okay, what you need to know about this psalm is that it is a type of psalm called a song of ascent. There are 16 of them in the Bible, and this is one of them. And basically, back in Bible times, there were this group of people called the Israelites that were God's chosen people. And three times a year that they would make this journey to a place called Jerusalem, which is the holy city, where the temple of God was. They would make this journey three times a year for these festivals so they could go to the temple of God. And they would sing these songs as they went. Jerusalem is located in Palestine, and Jerusalem is one of the highest places in Palestine. So they're walking up this massive hill as they go, hence why it's called a song of ascent. So they're walking up, singing these songs. Now, obviously, we don't do that anymore, but actually, these songs were also written to reflect what it looks like to live this journey with God, to be on this discipleship journey. Eugene Peterson calls it a life lived upwards towards God. So actually, if faith is a journey, and that is the destination we want to get to, where we can stand and say, better is one day with God than a thousand elsewhere, then we need to go back to the beginning of this psalm to find out how we get there. Actually, this verse was verse 10. So if we go back to verse 1, we can hopefully find some clues on how we can get there. So if we read from verse 1, it says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." Cool. So on their journey, these pilgrims, the first thing that they do is they set their sights on their destination. They tell us where they're going. They're going to the dwelling house of God. They're going to the courts of the Lord, to the place where God is. And we've said that we want to have that close relationship with God, right? We want to have that close intimacy with God where we can say that one day with him is better than anything else we could have. So actually, what we need to do, first and foremost, is we need to fix our eyes on our destination. Actually, if we don't have a destination on this journey, then it makes it quite hard, doesn't it? I don't know if you've ever been on a journey without a destination. You probably haven't, because it doesn't really happen that much. There's been a couple of times during lockdown where I've gone to go for my one walk of the day, and if I walk out of my gate, either I can go left and I can go up to the downs, or I can go right and I can go down to the harbour side. But actually, if I haven't decided where I'm going to go, then if you know me, I'm super indecisive. So I could stand outside that gate for like 5 minutes trying to decide on my destination so I can actually start my journey. Actually, if we don't have a destination, it makes the journey really hard. And actually, our destination is going to determine our steps. Actually, the destination, we have to fix our eyes on it so we can take each step one at a time to get to where we want to go. Right? So as Christians, our destination is to have that close intimacy with God. We agreed that's what we want, right? But it's hard. That is what we want. So we need to fix our eyes on that destination. But I want to ask you, do you know where you're going? Have you got a goal for your discipleship, for your relationship with God? Is there something that you're aiming for? Because if we don't have that, it makes it really hard. And so maybe some of you are thinking, actually, no, I've never thought about my discipleship or my faith as a journey. I've always thought of it as just this thing that I need to keep alive, but I've never thought of it as a journey. And so actually, maybe you just need to fix your eyes on this goal of actually getting close to the person of Jesus. Or maybe you're kind of thinking, actually, yeah, I did have that goal, but I feel like I've kind of lost it a bit. Like, actually, that's really easy to do. It's so easy to get sucked into this goal of like religion, where you're reading your Bible just to read your Bible, or you're going to church just so you can like feel like you've done your religious duties. And the thing about that is, the motivation isn't there. Actually, religion doesn't have the same draw that Jesus does. And so actually, that's going to make it really hard if you're doing those things just for the sake of doing them. Actually, if you're not doing them for the purpose of getting closer to Jesus. I will hold my hands up and say many times in the last 6 months, I found myself doing that. I've been reading the Bible just for reading the Bible. And that makes it really hard. Like, it's a hard book to understand at the best of times. And if you're doing it just for the sake of doing it, then it's going to be really hard. And also, some of you might be thinking, actually, yeah, I do have my sights set on Jesus and being closer to him. But actually, I've kind of lost the motivation. Well, if we go back to verse 2 in this psalm, actually, what it says is that every part of him is crying out for God, but it's his heart, his soul, and his flesh. There is no mention of his mind in there. Actually, we know that our thoughts and our feelings are so fickle. They come and go, and actually, they aren't reliable. What we have to rely on is that deeper feeling of actually, yeah, that is what I want. Some days, it's so easy to give into your feelings, and I know I've done that, where you're kind of like, I can't be bothered today. I don't think it's worth it. But actually, we have to find that inner thing of actually, that is what I want. Despite what my feelings are telling me, I have to choose to spend this time and to get closer to God, because that's really what we want when we think about it, isn't it? So actually, how do we do that? How do we fix our eyes on Jesus, and how do we know where we're going? Well, the best thing is just to get alone with God, just to be in his presence. And actually, when you get to that place of just being still in your bedroom, wherever you are, or even just go for a coffee with Jesus. Sometimes I've found it so hard, I just go for a coffee with Jesus and treat him like he's a real person. It works. It's great. Try it. But we have to just get alone in his presence. And actually, when you do that, it will remind you how much you want it. So many times I've just kind of sat and been in God's presence, and then the desire to read his Bible comes, and the desire to keep walking on this journey comes. But actually, we have to first fix our eyes on that destination of actually, yeah, I want to have that intimacy with God. I want to be in intimate communion with my Father. I want to have such a good relationship with him that I'm going to fix my eyes on that, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. Now, some of you are thinking, actually, yeah, that's all well and good. I have been doing that. I've been really trying. Like, lockdown was the time where I was going to sort myself out. I've been reading my Bible every day. I've been wanting to get closer to Jesus. I've been praying. I've been tuning into Metro and five other churches around the world. I've been doing everything, but still, I'm in this really dry place and God feels far away. Or maybe actually life's kind of hit you, like obviously everything corona is happening, but something else has happened in your life and it's just hit you for six and you're finding faith really hard and you fixed your eyes, but you're still not feeling it. Faith is still feeling really hard. Well, as I said, this psalm continues to speak directly into that. Handy. So before we read on, I'm going to give you a quick bit of context. So the next couple of verses mentions this place called the Valley of Baca. Now, in a lot of the Psalms, they use a valley to depict hard times in life. So a lot of King David's Psalms will talk about the Valley of the Shadow of Death, which sounds horrendous, terrible place. So valleys are hard places, but what is specific about this valley is that, okay, so Baca in the Hebrew means to weep. So it's basically the valley of weeping, which maybe some of you feel like you're there right now. Actually, life is so hard and you can't help but cry quite a lot, quite regularly. You're kind of falling apart. But also, Baca was a type of tree, and it's this type of tree that's found in really dry and arid regions where there's not much life. And actually, they have this gum and this resin that they drip from their boughs. And so it also looks like they're crying. So this place is so dry, there's no life, there's not much going on. It's a really hard place. Even the trees are crying. It's really not great. Some of you maybe feel like you're there right now, actually having a hard time in life. Faith is really hard. Now, before we move on, I'm going to read you this verse and then we'll move on. So verses 5-7 says this, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. So, the first thing that they do is they set their heart on pilgrimage. They commit to the journey. Now, actually, some of you, I want to encourage you first off, if you feel like you're in this valley of Baca, actually, firstly, God says you're in the right place. This is part of your journey. You're not doing anything wrong. He's not far off. This is just part of your journey. Actually, it says in the psalm, doesn't it? It says, as they pass through. Actually, this isn't if you pass through. This is as you pass through. This is something that we will all experience at one time or another. So even if you're not feeling like that right now, keep this psalm, Psalm 84, stick it in your back pocket and keep it for another day because you will go through it at some point. But the second encouragement to take is as they pass through. Actually, this isn't a place where we stay. This is somewhere where we pass through. Actually, we will come out the other side, right? This isn't it. This isn't it. You will come out the other side, I promise you. But, so what do we do when we're in this place, when we're actually in that dry place? What do we do? So in the verse, it says, they make it a place of springs. We have to make it a place of springs. Actually, it's up to us. We have to make it a place of springs. We have to be in that side, in that place, committed to the journey, and say, actually, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to make it a place of springs. I'm going to be in this place. I know I'm meant to be here, and I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to find those springs, and I'm going to transform this place. I'm not going to let it transform me. I'm not going to let this hardship actually come and defeat me and take me off this journey because I know where I'm going. I fixed my eyes. Actually, I'm going to use where I am and I'm going to transform it. I'm not going to let it transform me. So we're going to have to dig deep and find those wells. But actually, when we do that, it's not going to be easy, right? Faith is kind of hard at the best of times. And actually, we've just agreed that faith is really hard, particularly at the moment. And so the Valley of Baca is a really dry place. And so the springs of water are going to be really deep underground, right? It's not going to be easy. And sometimes actually, you won't have the motivation to do that. Sometimes it would just be easier to just step off to the side and take a break. But actually, we have to dig really deep. Those springs are going to be really deep underground. So the question for you, again, is, are you willing to dig deep? Are you willing to be in those places and say, actually, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to go down and find those springs that I know are there, those springs where God is, and I'm going to dig deep. Actually, this studio church is our version of digging deep. Actually, we've kind of committed to doing whatever we can to get some more of Jesus. Actually, we believe that meeting together is so important. Actually, Jesus says when we meet, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. And actually, we're so desperate for more of Jesus that we will gather, even if we have to sit 2 meters apart in face masks and we're not allowed to sing, actually, we're going to dig deep. We're going to do whatever it takes because we so want more of Jesus. Actually, for some of us at home, that's going to look really different. I don't know what that's going to look like for you, but sometimes you're going to have to make that decision to actually, I'm going to dig deep. I'm not going to let this period of dryness, this period of hard times, discourage me because I know where I'm going and I want to get there. So maybe for you, that's going to look like fasting. Actually, giving up food for a day. I know for people like me, that's quite a big sacrifice. I love food. But actually, am I willing to dig deep? Am I willing to give that up because I want to go where I'm going so much? I want to be able to say, better is one day in your courts and 1,000 elsewhere. Are we willing to dig deep? Because actually, if we are, God meets us in that place. We know that we will find springs. It's not like as they pass through the Valley of Baca, they might find some springs. Actually, they make it a place of springs. Guarantee if you dig, you will find springs. God sees your heart and the posture of your heart, and he will reward that. He will find those springs. Now, some of you are thinking, actually, you don't get it. I've tried to dig deep and it's just not working. I've really, really tried. I've done everything. I've prayed. I've done everything. And God is still not there. But what we need to do when we get to that point, actually, is the verse said, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Actually, the strength to do this doesn't come from ourselves because actually, this place is bad. This place is dry. There is no life there. And God knows we can't do it on our own. So actually, the strength to dig deep comes from him. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to dig. It's not like we have this handy little strong man who comes along and does the digging for us. Actually, it means that we get extra strength to be able to dig deeper. And so we need to be praying for that extra strength, saying, God, I'm really trying. I fixed my eyes on you and I'm committed to this journey, but I need some more strength to dig deeper because I can't find you right now. Actually, God will be found in that place, but our strength has to come from him. And actually, when we do that, as I said, God sees our heart posture. And what he does is he doesn't just give us these springs. He adds his rain. He adds his blessing. And actually, the verse says that there becomes pools of water. Right? So if this is a really dry place, most of the water straight away is just going to seep into the ground, right? So that's like a lot of water for it to be that dry and then for there to be pools on top of the ground. That is so much water. God sees our striving and sees our trying, and he adds his blessing to that. And it just completely transforms that place. Actually, for each of us, we can be in that dry place and we can find those springs, and then God will add his rain and will completely transform that place for us. That's what I want for us. That's what I want for our community, for God to add his blessing. Because not only does when it rains, it doesn't just transform that place for you, It transforms our place for everyone around you. It transforms the whole area. Actually, maybe you've got non-Christian friends at home or at work, or maybe your family are non-Christians and actually they're really struggling at the moment and they're finding life really hard and really dry. Actually, when you're willing to dig deep and commit to the journey and find those springs, when God blesses you, it's going to touch other people. The blessings that come on your life are going to be poured out onto those around you. Wouldn't you love to just be a blessing to other people? Not because of anything you've done, just because you've dug deep in your faith and God has blessed that and poured out on others. I'd love for that as our community of people who are actually so committed to our faith that God is blessing those around us. I know that would be so amazing. But actually, so yeah, I think what we need to think is actually, am I committed to this journey? Am I willing to dig deep? And have I got my eyes fixed on Jesus? Do I know where I'm going? Because actually, if we do, then we reach this destination where we want to go. So if we read the rest of the psalm, it says, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you." So when we do that, when we fix our eyes on Jesus and we commit to the journey, actually through the hardships and through these dry times, actually we get to this point of being able to stand and truthfully say, "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere." Actually, we get to that point where we have that intimacy with Jesus, where actually through the dry times and through everything, it becomes worth it. I don't want us to be a community who actually, this coronavirus is the thing that destroys our faith. I don't want us to continually get to those dry times and hit them time after time and not know what to do. I want us to be people who come out of that and get to the other side and get to this richness of blessing that God promises in these times. Actually, how amazing would it be to just know that one day with God is better than 1,000 days elsewhere? Actually, that's what I want for us. I want for our community to have such rich lives that we have dug so deep and we've found those springs. And the blessing that God is pouring into us is overflowing into those around us. Wouldn't that be so amazing? Wouldn't it be so amazing if we were a church that came out of the other side of this so much stronger, spiritually enriched, full of the Holy Spirit? That's what I want for us. That's what I want for you guys. That's what I want for myself. I know for me, I have found this time in lockdown really hard. And actually, I have found faith really hard not meeting with you guys. But I believe that we're going to come out of the other side stronger. That we're going to dig deep. We're going to fix our eyes. And we're going to commit to the journey. And we're going to see God do some amazing stuff. So we're going to take a minute to invite the Holy Spirit. But there's a couple of people that I just want to pray for. I think there's some people out there in particular who really feel like they've been in this dry season for a really long time. And they feel like they've dug deep, but they haven't hit those springs. And they haven't had the rain yet. Actually, God says he's sending his rain. Actually, persevere. If you commit to the journey, God is going to send his rain. And for all of us, if you commit to the journey, God is going to send his rain. So I'm going to pray for us now, and then I'm going to get the band to come back up. Yeah, Holy Spirit, thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that you are worth chasing after, that one day with you is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Thank you that you are so worth us fixing our eyes on you and committing to that journey, even through the hard places. God, I just want to pray for all of those people right now who are finding faith particularly hard. God, I pray that you would just give them a fresh injection of your strength. God, I pray for the whole of Metro that you would give us an injection of your strength to dig deeper into you, to find that well of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that that would overflow into lives of those around us. God, I pray that we would have stories of people winning off the blessing in our lives, God. Holy Spirit, would you come now? And Lord, for those who are particularly desperate, Lord, would you send the rain? Holy Spirit, now would you send the rain? So I'm just going to invite the band up and we're going to go back into a time of worship.